Because we're talking about giving honor to whom honor is due, honoring one another this morning. And so we want to honor everyone that deserves honor whenever we can give them that honor. Sometimes we don't know who deserves the honor, but when we do, we want to give it. James chapter 4 and verse 11, James says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you are judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge." It tells us we're not supposed to be speaking evil of one another and judging one another. Instead, we need to be honoring one another. John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." And so we want to give honor to one another whenever it's due. I think of the story that's told of the time where the city wanted to honor its greatest citizen. And so they sent in applications from all over the city, people who thought, these are the most honorable citizens that we have. These are the best of the best. And they, of course, called judges into the city to judge and determine then who was, in fact, the most honorable citizen. Who deserved this great honor? And the first that they called for, he was the mayor of the city. And he had helped to do so much in the city. He had turned the city around. He had gotten the problems of the city straightened out. He'd cut down on crime, and he'd built the city and beautified the city. He'd done all these wonderful things. I said, "Wow, that's very honorable that he's done all those things." The second that came was a doctor. And he had saved many lives, and he had been there at the birth of many of the children, and he had done so much for so many in the community, helping those who were sick and various things of that nature. And so they thought, "Wow, that's incredible that he's done those things." And you had others that came, and they had three or four that got into the finals. And then along with those, the great individuals who had done all of these wonderful things, there was one little old gray-haired lady. And they said, "Well, how did she get picked to be a finalist here? What is it that is so special about her?" And they said, "Well, you see the banker there? And do you see the lawyer there that's fought for the rights of the people? And do you see the doctor who saved so many lives? And do you see the mayor there who's turned our city around?" They said, "This lady taught them in school. She was their teacher." And of course, the judges said, "Well, no doubt then she deserves the honor because she has helped them to accomplish all of these things that these have done." And so they gave the honor to her because she was due that honor. Well, that's the way honor goes sometimes. However, other times people don't give the honor where it's really due and they neglect that. But as we think about honoring others, I want to think first of all about what honor is. Honor is a valuing. It's giving a reward or recognition. It's also defined as a price paid or received. A price paid. We would never think of going in the grocery store and picking out the items that we wanted and then just walking out the door with them without paying for them. And yet many times people do things that deserve honor, and they should be paid for the honorable things they have done, and yet we think nothing of just ignoring that, passing by. A price that's paid or received. We would like to receive honor when we've done something worthy of honor. And the Bible tells us we should treat others the way we would want to be treated. So when we see that someone has done something worthy of honor, we should give them that honor. Honor is supplying a need. Acts 28 and verse 10, Paul says, they also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. What an honor. They were going out to preach the gospel, going on their missionary journey. And they needed some things. And these folks honored them not only with words, but also by supplying their needs so that they had the things necessary to complete their task. In Acts 28 and verse 10. But honor also is a cause for rejoicing. Many times we see honor as an opportunity to be jealous of somebody else. But instead it should be a cause for rejoicing. 1 Corinthians 12:26 tells us, if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the others rejoice with it. We need to rejoice when someone receives an honor. We have a great many people in our congregation who receive an honor from time to time. And it's good to rejoice with them for that. We need to be proud of them in a good way, not in a bad way. But we need to be glad that they've received the honor that they were due. Also, we might notice that honoring someone is not favoritism. When we honor someone for something they have accomplished, that is not showing favoritism. Now, if we honor one person and dishonor another when they've both accomplished the same task, that's favoritism. But to honor someone is not a form of favoritism. When I graduated from school, there was a young lady in our class who received the honor of being the valedictorian of my class. I'm sure there was someone in your class when you graduated from school, if you did, that they received that honor of being the valedictorian. They didn't get favoritism by that. They showed that they had worked hard to deserve that. They had been studying and reading and doing their homework while some of the rest of us were playing video games. And so they made better grades than the rest of us, and they received the honor they were due. That's not favoritism. Sometimes we think that in order to not show favoritism, everybody must be treated exactly the same. That's not true. When someone does something worthy of honor, they should receive that honor. But we should not go beyond and start giving someone special treatment. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you be puffed up on behalf of one against another." He says, don't be puffed up of one over another. But when somebody does something deserving of honor, give them that honor. In fact, there in the scripture that was read, we are to give honor to whom honor is due. And so that is not going beyond what is written. That is being obedient to what is written when we give someone the honor they deserve. Now, when we give people honors that they don't deserve, that's showing favoritism. We are admonished to honor. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. Chapter 12, verse 12 through 27. I won't read that whole situation there. But basically, we're admonished in that passage to honor the weak members of the body. To honor them. And it's not necessarily that we say they're better than others, but we honor them by helping them and by encouraging them and by when they do accomplish something, give them the credit that they do. The old saying that you always attract more flies with honey than vinegar, it's certainly true of compliments and criticism too. When you see someone who's weak, instead of picking on the weak points and the mistakes they're making, try to seek out the good thing that they've accomplished and build on that. Give them honor for the good thing they're doing and encourage them then to do more of those good things. But we are to honor those members. He says in verse 23, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. That seems a little backwards in some ways from the way the world looks at things. But Paul says that's the way we behave in the body of Christ. Those that are weaker, they're necessary too. And they are needed parts of the whole. And we need to encourage them. Of course, we are admonished to honor our parents as well. In Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We are to honor exceptional workers. Philippians 2:25-30. Paul gives honor to Epaphroditus. He said it was necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. He said, for he was sick, but God had mercy on him. Not only on him, but on me also. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. In other words, honor him for the work that he had done. So because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Oh, this fellow risked his life for the cause of Christ. And Paul says, that's something you need to give him some honor. You need to give him some esteem for having done that. Then, of course, we also are admonished to honor widows. 1 Timothy 5:3. Honor widows who are widows indeed. Those who are really widows. And they say, well, any woman whose husband had died is a widow, isn't she? Well, he goes on to describe which widows they are to give the special honor to. Just because a woman's husband died did not make her worthy of being taken into the care of the church. 1 Timothy indicates, Paul indicates there in 1 Timothy 5 that the widow who is the widow indeed is the one who is righteous, who is godly. Not just anybody out there who's a widow, but the one who is a servant of God. And he indicates that. Well, then we also are to give honor to our elders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. So that's a difficult task, being a shepherd over the flock of God and being responsible for those souls. And so, therefore, is worthy of double honor, extra honor, more honor than others because of that situation that they have taken upon themselves to fulfill. We also are to give honor to our employers. And you know, a lot of times this is one where a lot of people who are supposedly Christian people don't do this. We do not treat our employers with the respect they deserve. We talk bad about them. We gripe and complain about every decision that's made and about all the things they make us do. And I understand that it can be frustrating when we feel like we're not being treated right, but we still give them honor because of the fact that those employers are providing our livelihood. And they are helping us to be able to care for our family. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 1 says, let as many bond servants, the New King James says, as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. Now, of course, we don't think of ourselves, I don't suppose, as bond servants, but you know, when we have a job, we really kind of are bond servants. We're bound to that in order to be able to pay our bills and things. And so we are servants in a sense to those employers, but we need to treat them with honor. In other places, of course, the Bible tells us to work for them as though we're working for the Lord, because that's really what's happening. We're really working for the Lord. And of course, on the other side of that, he admonishes those who are in the position of authority, the master or the boss, to consider how they treat those under their authority, knowing that they're going to have someone who's going to judge them in the last day as well. And so whether we're an employee or the employer, we should treat the other with respect and with honor. And certainly when that honor is due, it's a lot easier. When you're working for a good boss, boy, that's nice. It's easy to be honorable to them then. But when you're working for somebody that doesn't treat you with respect, it makes it a little more difficult. But we have to do that nonetheless. Of course, also, the Bible tells us that we are to honor all people and the governing officials as well. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, of course, we don't have a king in our country, but basically the word king there is translated from the word that means the one in authority. The person of superior authority. So that's the individual, whether it's in that time they had a king, a Caesar, who was the authority. Nowadays we have others who are in authority over us, but we need to honor them. It may be difficult sometimes because sometimes those individuals are corrupt. Sometimes, I was talking this morning in class, so we're talking about a little bit about said the criminals that get caught go to jail, and the ones that don't sometimes become politicians. But sometimes there's corruption, and there are evil men who may be in positions of authority. But we need to remember that when Peter wrote this, and when Paul wrote these things, like he did in Romans 13 about being in submission to the government, we have to remember what government that was they were under. They were under a government that promoted idolatry and all sorts of evil things and condemned to death some of the Christians who were living at that time. And yet, they still said, honor the king. What did Jesus say to Pilate? You would have no authority unless it was given to you from above. God has allowed these individuals to be in that position of authority. Whether we like them or not, whether we think they ought to be or not, and sometimes God has allowed wicked individuals to come into positions of authority, sometimes in order to chastise or to punish others, and then later those wicked individuals were punished. We don't know all of why God allows the ones to be in authority that are in authority, but He tells us we honor them. Now that doesn't mean we agree with everything they do. That doesn't mean if they tell us to do something sinful, we do it. But we give them the respect and the honor that they deserve as being the authority over us. And one of the things that's important for us to understand in giving that honor is if we will not honor those who are in authority over us, then we cannot expect that those who are under our authority will respect us and honor us. I recall in particular one case where the father in the family had specifically told his daughter that she was not to go to the prom, that she was not going to be involved in that. And the mother went out behind his back and bought that young lady a prom dress and rented the limousine and set everything up and sent her to the prom anyway. And then that mother wondered why her children didn't have any respect for her. They didn't have any respect for her because she hadn't shown any respect for the head of the household, her husband. I see other men who wonder why their wife doesn't do isn't in submission to them. And yet they live any kind of way they want to and won't submit themselves to Christ and to His law. Why, those that are under your authority are just learning from your behavior. You won't submit yourself to Christ and to God. Why would they submit themselves to you? And so many times parents who won't submit themselves to the law of the land, and then they wonder why their children won't submit to them. If we don't show the honor that is due those who are in authority, we better expect that whoever's under our authority is not going to respect us. But we need to teach that and practice that. We need to honor our wives, men. And speaking of that, I forgot to get this in the bulletin, the Mother's Day breakfast coming up. Speaking of honoring wives and mothers. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Give honor to the wife. You know, a husband who gives honor to his wife and loves his wife like Christ loves the church, and he himself submits to the authority above him, is not going to have the problem in his family and in his household that so many are having today. There are so many who won't give any respect to their wives, treat her worse than a prostitute, and then wonder why she doesn't like to be treated that way. It's just common sense. Treat others the way that you would want to be treated. Give honor to the wife. And then, of course, any who are due honor, we are commanded to give honor to. Romans 13:7, render to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Custom to whom customs are due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor is due. And then, of course, from our own standpoint, we are to strive to be honorable ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some honorable, and some for dishonor, dishonorable vessels. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these, the latter, the dishonorable vessels, then he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In essence, Peter's telling us there are some things in our lives that are good and some things in our lives that are bad, and we need to get rid of the bad things so that it'll be all good. That's what we need to practice. We need to get rid of the dishonorable things in our lives so that when people look at us, they'll see only those things that are honorable and worthy of honor. That should be our goal. John 5:44. Jesus says, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? You know, as we think about being honorable, we need to first and foremost want to receive the honor that God gives. You know, there are a lot of different kinds of honor you can receive. And man, let me tell you, the gangbangers out there who go out and shoot somebody, they get honor from their buddy. Oh, that was great. Oh, yeah, you're the man. They get honor from their friends who do the same thing. The fellow that goes out and robs a bank. The computer hacker that hacks into some classified program or some bank or something somewhere. Oh, they get acclaim from their buddies that want to do the same kinds of thing. But we need to be seeking the honor that comes from God, not the honor from others. We need to receive the right kinds of honor. Honor for doing good. Romans 2:7 tells us also that eternal life is given to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality. You know, the honor of my fellow man is nothing compared to the honor that God can give me, the glory and the immortality that I can receive from Him. So we need to think about those things as we look for honor in this life. And then finally, we want to look at the fact that honor can be misplaced. 1 Samuel 2:29 God says, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? When we honor someone else more than we honor God, we've misplaced our honor. We're given honor in the wrong place. And of course, John 5:44 that we read a moment ago, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from God? If we'd rather receive honor from man, or if we'd rather give honor to man than have them receive honor from God, that's not right. And then sometimes our honor is misplaced because of the source, because it comes from ourselves. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Don't brag, don't boast. Let somebody else honor you. Don't honor yourself. The Bible tells us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. But you try to lift yourself up, He might knock you down. We need to think about who we honor and how we honor and whether we honor as we should. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to become one today. There is no better time to hear the invitation. Matthew 11, verse 15 says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then we must believe what we've heard. Mark 1:15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. But then we must also repent. Matthew 3:2 says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We must confess Jesus as the Christ. Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we must be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, Matthew 28:19 tells us. But then we must live faithfully. John 8:31 says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Are we continuing in His word? Are we giving honor to one another as it's due? Giving honor to those who are due honor, even though we may not think them honorable because of the position that they have? Or are we honoring ourselves and not others? If you're here this morning and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, I ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.